So no matter what it is, we'll be the champions. Oklahoma, we've been it.
Excellence has been established by Coach Wilkinson, Coach Switzer, and Coach Stoops. It's my responsibility to defend that standard and to build upon that standard.
Welcome to the Oklahoma Drill Podcast with your hosts, Jesse Curtin-Biddle and Brian Clark.
Hello, Sooner Nation. OU Insider subscribers, Coach Brian Clinton enthusiasts, people who are dealing with allergies and or ready to tear the Oklahoma football program to the ground after losing to Ole Miss, dropping to 6-2, their second loss in three games, at least for the allergies part of it. This is the podcast for you. This is another episode of the Oklahoma Drill Podcast. It is a podcast fueled by OU Insider and On3 -/m-: Rivals. I'm Jesse Crittenden, and I'm joined, as always, by Mr. Sir Coach Brian Clinton. Brian, where are you on the allergies scale and then the tear the football program down to the studs scale? Let's get on both of those.
Yeah, allergies scale, I don't want to say I've been able to dodge it because that's not entirely true, but I would say I'm probably like a 6, maybe 5.5. Like, I've been feeling it, but I think I've been able to keep it at bay with some seasonal medication. So it's been good. Zyrtec's been good to me.
Thank God for Western medicine.
Yes. And then as far as tearing it down to the studs, I mean, I'm certainly not happy with the last couple, you know, the last two of the last three results, but I think that would be quite hasty at this point. I think, don't forget, folks, you won six games last year, so like, come on now, let's pull this thing together.
Yeah, this program is bowl eligible, Brian. Yeah. Bowl eligible. Took them 7 games to get bowl eligible. That's progress. Took them to the second week of the year last year. Second week to the end of the season. We don't need to rehash all the Ole Miss stuff. I mean, it's a tough game. It was a tough game. I've gone back and watched it. I watched it all Monday morning and found myself more encouraged about some things and less encouraged than about others. What we do need to talk about, because Oklahoma has a huge game this weekend against Tennessee. The loss to Ole Miss on its own, not a tragedy, right? Ole Miss is a good team. That offense is really good. They just played better than Oklahoma. Losing it at home stings. What that loss did do, though, outside of some of the other stuff we're going to talk about, is it shrinks your margin of error. Oklahoma basically has no margin for error moving forward. If your expectations are to still make the playoff, you basically don't have margin for error. Let's talk about the main thing that people want to talk about, Brian. Let's talk about I was going to come up with something funny. I didn't have something locked and loaded in the chamber.
Just dive right into it, man. You know what it is.
Let's talk about John Mateer.
Yeah.
Because this is what I was telling people on Twitter, I refuse to call it X, and on the message boards after the game. This is what I was telling people, that I heard a lot of complaining about the offensive line. I get it. Heard a lot of complaining about the running back rotation. I get it. I heard a lot of complaining about the defense giving up explosive plays. I get it. It wasn't great. It's not any one thing. It never is. Oklahoma needs John Mateer to be better. That's what I told people. It's flat out. John Mateer has to be better. You can nitpick all of the other stuff, but ultimately it comes down to John Mateer needs to be better. And Brian, when I tell you the numbers, since he came back from that thumb injury, he's averaging 192 passing yards per game. He has 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. I think he's got 36 rushing yards total. Let me double check. He's missing open guys, and when I said earlier that I think I was more encouraged about some things and less encouraged about others, I felt worse about Mateer's performance when I watched the game back. than I did in the moment. And I thought it was bad in the moment. What, not only what stood out to you about that game, but when you look at these three games since Mateer came back, what's not working? What's the biggest difference between early season Mateer and now? What's going on? I see the floor.
Well, I mean, there's a few ways to start. You look at, well, one, his game, the way that he's approaching things in game just seems totally different. Like his clock is completely off. Timing's off. Really what it comes down to, like at the most basic level, is like what he brought to the table. You knew he had some arm talent. You could see it very clearly. He was able to rip it, and ball comes out with velocity. Like you saw this going, but that doesn't change just because he's changed conferences. I am concerned about his ability to run the football and how that has just completely diminished. Because I don't think Oklahoma's tried to go away from it. And they have found success running the football in other ways. It hasn't been this explosive, like we're rushing for as many yards as Army is. And like that's not it's not like that, but you have found success in other ways. If you want me to be completely real with you,
Do it.
I'm kind of thinking he's having a hard time adjusting. I mean, the timing of it just seems, I get the hand injury and like you come back against Texas, but the athletes that you've faced in these games on the defensive side of the ball, the timing seems off. To me, it's just a matter of you're playing bigger, faster, stronger guys on the other side. And you can really the place that really shines is when he's out outside the pocket. You can see that to this point in his collegiate career, he's been comfortable making guys out there miss, and that extra second and a half or 2 seconds has been where a lot of his explosive plays downfield have come. He hasn't been able to make those guys miss, just plain and simple. It's been he hasn't been able to out-athlete some of the guys out there in the edge. Now, do I think that this is unfixable? No, I don't. I think that there are things that he still has plenty of talent. There's still a lot of things that made him the number one guy in the transfer portal. But right now, it's almost his confidence seems to be shaken a little bit. And I don't know how you get that back in the middle of a season with the gauntlet that you have coming ahead. I mean, you just kind of have to roll with the punches and see what happens. But yeah, he's been off. There's no doubt about it. I am starting to think the jump to the SEC was maybe a little higher than maybe we anticipated for him.
It's hard because the thumb injury makes it difficult to try to objectively analyze the last three games, right? Because here's
It
the thing.
gives you an out, like.
Yes, it does. And I say that because ultimately, I think you're right. I actually think the hidden, I don't know if it's hidden, the undercurrent of this is that they're just playing better defenses. And even Ole Miss, who is not a good defense, and Tennessee this weekend, not a good defense. They have SEC athletes. Those are not these are these defenses are filled with guys that John Mateer was not playing against Washington State. And I actually think the biggest indicator of that is the running game. It's just not there, and it's a double-edged sword. He's not running the ball very well, and they keep running him. It's
Right.
both. It'd be one thing if you got in these last three games and after the fourth or fifth carry, it's like, oh, this just isn't working. But they keep running it. I mean, Brian, he has 30 rushing attempts. Sorry, excuse me, 35 rushing attempts in the last three games for 36 yards. It's just not going to cut it. And it's
And
not.
there's been some of those that have been on back-to-back plays that have net you negative yards.
Yes. And
And
it's not all the offensive line. I didn't think the offensive line was that bad against Ole Miss. I'm
I
sorry.
didn't either.
I didn't think it was that bad. I know it's the popular thing, and this is there's a huge gray area between they didn't play or they weren't that terrible and they were amazing. I mean, there is just so much middle ground between those two things. And I get the offensive line has struggled. I'm sure that plays into it, but it's those things. It's playing SEC defenses, and I think that's just got him. I mean, the thing about him at Washington State, and this is what I was going to ask you about. He was never like a dissect defenses. Read them at the pre-snap and go through your progressions and oh, deliver this ball through this hole to your fourth option. The thing was, he Arbuckle and him had good symmetry, good cohesion. He knew where the ball needed to go. He was aggressive enough that even when he had a mistake or two in games, just his sheer audacity to attack the field kind of made up for it. But now you're not getting the rushing production, you're not getting the aggressiveness, the swagger, whatever you want to call it, it's not there. And it's just compiled into a quarterback that Oklahoma doesn't have margin for error in other areas for Jon Batiir to not be good enough. They just don't. They need him to be really good, right?
Well, and I mean, a lot of what it reminds me of, to a lesser extent, because I think even when, and this comparison gets old, but it's so good. It's such a good comparison. In 2015, when Baker Mayfield was kind of working his way through being a starter for the Sooners for the first time, and there were up and down games, he figured it out quickly. Which again, Jon Batiir is not Baker Mayfield. But there are some similarities. I would say it's a fair assessment to say Jon Batiir is a similar athlete to Baker Mayfield, has a similar profile, doesn't have the quite the arm strength or arm talent, it wouldn't seem. Because there are just some plays. I mean, go back and watch. But he has been more lethal as a runner than I think Mayfield was in college. But what made him appealing and what has made him special has been the off schedule stuff that made Baker such an electric guy to watch. Because more often than not, things have landed for him to this point in his career. Now, this has been his worst 3-game stretch as a starter, statistically. And do I think that this is where we just write the book on Mateer? No, he has the right mentality. He is a leader. I don't think anybody in that locker room is doubting his leadership. This is just one of those times where he's in a bad stretch. Now, that thumb, I think at this point, you would kind of expect it to be, it's good enough. It's good enough, close enough to 100% that really probably shouldn't be affecting you if you've rehabbed the way that you should. There's also the knee thing that just kind of gets swept under the rug. Don't know how serious that is, but like it's pretty apparent the guy is wearing he's wearing a brace and he doesn't seem to have that same bite that he did in the running game early in the year. So I don't know. Like you said, Jesse, it's hard to really write the book on what's fair to assume, but I will say this through 8 games, he hasn't been what you needed him to be, and the reason you are 6-2 is because your defense has been way better than expected. So I think it's kind of it's a wash. You really need him to be good to great if Oklahoma is going to finish out this year as a potential playoff team.
Well, I think both things can be true. It's not, you don't lose all hope about Jon Batiir if you're a fan.
No.
There's plenty of ways for him to be better and for that to be realistic. That can be true. And also, Oklahoma needs him to be like way better. That's my analysis. But in a, like, they need him to be way better. And even being way better compared to where he has been would be good.
Right.
And we're seeing in the SEC sometimes because the margins, because everybody has these caliber of athletes, like sometimes it really comes down to which quarterback plays better,
Right.
right?
Well, and here's the thing, like you saw this after the game, you saw this watching the game back, I'm sure. You just said it that you were a little more concerned after watching it back a second time. There were easy routine plays to be made that Mateer has made 100 times in his career. There were plays to be made in the passing game. Whenever I made the decision in the game live, that this one's over. That it's like it's just not going to fall Oklahoma's way. Javonte Gibson is running butt naked down the sideline, and Mateer just overshoots him, into the stands pretty much. And I'm just like, that was one of those plays that he has made a dozen times, and it just wasn't there. And so, is he too juiced? Is it like, is it? I don't know what it is, but there are some routine plays that if you just make those, you're significantly better. So, yeah.
Here's the other thing too, though, is it's that it's I think the reason why that Ole Miss game, and we talked about it against Texas too, we said the same thing. It's the way Oklahoma lost it. It's not about losing even at home to Ole Miss. That on its face is not a crime. It's the running back rotation's weird again, and it's oh, the defense played, let's face it, this defense is still elite. I really believe that. They played their first passing attack that had a real pulse, and that's I don't even mean that to degrade Texas or Michigan or whoever else, but this was the first like genuinely explosive offense that they had played, and you see the margin of error come up there. Another thing that's not being talked about, and I asked Brent Venables about it on Tuesday, this team has 10 special teams penalties in the last 4 games. They have 7 in the last 3. And when you think about even that, the sequence
Win.
that led to the safety, it starts with a holding penalty on punt return.
Yeah.
And even the Isaiah Satania fumble, that was mostly on him, but the punt return team was also bad on that play. And
Right.
it's just special teams was supposed to be a real strength. And outside of Grayson Miller and Tate Sandell, who have been nails. Tate Sandell, especially the special teams are hurting you more than they're helping you, and it's like it's always something. And I think the hope was that even if the things that have plagued this team the last 3 years, even if they still came back into the picture this year, that John Mateer would be good enough on his own to mask
Right.
all out of those issues. That's why you went out and got him. And all of those other issues come more into the light because you're not getting enough from John Mateer.
Right.
And but it's just, Brian, it's just always something. You don't have
It
to
is.
lose faith in the season, but it's always something.
Well, and here's the thing, like you from here on out, even LSU, who is, I mean, could be worse. But if even with a team like LSU that's looking a lot worse, from Texas on, you are playing teams that have a similar level of talent on the field with you. It's pretty close here or there. You're not there's not a lot of difference there. You can't lose 2 of 3 phases in the game. You can't. If your offense is not playing to the level you need it to, but your defense is excellent, you can offset those if your special teams doesn't bite you. And special teams has bit them in both of the losses. Love it or hate it, I mean, like that's part of it. And as you said, I think Tate Sandell needs his flowers.
Yes,
Dude's been
it does.
incredible. Marshall's been great too. But I think last week, like you just said, you watched the defense face a really good offense. And Chambliss, my gosh, how many times is the guy going to get out of 3rd and 9? Like, I mean,
Chambliss was really good.
Guy is he's good. I mean,
He's
that's
really
a
good.
good, that's the best quarterback Oklahoma's faced this season by a mile. And some of the
It's not
throws that
even
he made,
close.
no, some of the throws that he made, it was like a tip of the cap. You could not have had better coverage. That was, I mean, that was just a great ball. But not to get too far off kilter, it is, you can't lose special teams when your offense is still trying to find its way. Now, you mentioned running back rotation.
Let me hear it. Let me hear it. Should Xavier Robinson
Xavier Robinson
more
should touch have
touches?
80% of the touches the rest of the season at, in the running back room, and the only 20% that he's not hit getting should be a change of pace or the dude needs a breather. Because every time he has touched the football since he's been at Oklahoma, good things have happened. And I don't understand, like, okay. Again, here we are having this discussion about DeMarco Murray. The guy's done so much for the program. Like, I mean, I've given him flowers over and over again. Xavier Robinson is running back one on this team. He was running back one on this team last year. And then all of a sudden we get to the bowl game. And then we get to the beginning of this year. And he's like buried on the depth chart again. And now I understand, like they're you've got to reward the guys that have had good spring, like good fall camp, good, you know, there's injuries to be. No, you are down the middle of the stretch of the football season. The guy has been your best and most consistent. I mean, he's had substantial touches in each of the last two games. It's not a coincidence that the last two games against good competition have been your most successful games on the ground as far as running the football traditionally. The guy, he's just got it. I think Torrey Blaylock has an incredibly high ceiling. I think he's been really good for a true freshman. I'm not taking that away from him. I'm just saying the style of running back that Xavier Robinson is fits what Oklahoma has right now along the offensive line, and there's no reason why he shouldn't be the guy going forward.
I felt that.
I'm off the box. I'm
I
sorry.
felt that in your soul. I know
Yeah.
how much that needed to come out. As a aside. Remember when Oklahoma lost the Navy?
I do remember
I just
that.
feel
That
like
one's hard to forget.
that feels like a billion years ago.
It sure does.
Look, but that's the thing is like even it's almost like it was like two steps forward and two and a half steps back because Xavier Robinson was awesome, but then you gave him 11 touches. Gave him one in the first half. He had one run in the first half.
With your quarterback not being as productive as he is usually running the football, there's no freaking excuse. There's just not. Like that's gonna get me. It's not even Saturday, Jesse. Like, don't, please don't.
Well, look, it's easy. It is easy. I think that loss again was particularly frustrating because it's all these things. And it's not to suggest that every program is perfect. Look at Ole Miss. Why were they bringing Austin Simmons into the game? Ever. At any
No
point?
idea.
I don't know. Other teams,
The
other
gift on the
institutions.
15-yard line.
Yes. Why Lane Kiffin, who called a really good game on Saturday, but why Lane Kiffin ever thought that Trinidad Chambliss guy? Who's been really good all year and is dissecting and beating up this OU defense that's been elite all year. Let's take him off the field in the red zone. Let's do that. See, every program does things from time to time that are questionable. The thing
Yeah,
is,
think about what is happening in Oxford this week if
that's.
OU ends up winning that game after giving the football to OU on the 15th. Like, yeah. Anyways, continue.
Well, and look, I mean, Mississippi State, who this is not to compare Oklahoma and Mississippi State as programs, they didn't just snatch defeat from the jaws of victory against Texas. They went out of their way to lose that game. There's always look, and it, like there's always something, right?
OU DNA.
I think, but I think with Oklahoma, it's just you like there's. with what lays ahead of this team, what lies
Lies,
ahead
lies.
for this
There you
team? It was frustrating to lose the game that way when your highly touted quarterback didn't play well enough, and the running back rotation was an issue again. The offensive line just isn't ever healthy, ever. They're going to start a true freshman at right tackle who's been working at right guard since he got to Norman because they have to. The defense was fine. It wasn't elite. It was fine. The defense was fine. Too many explosive plays. It's all of that comes into if now you might take that loss and say, let's reframe expectations. And maybe that's reasonable because the reality is I picked this team to go 9-3. Some people would have said 8-4. If they go 2-2, they're not gonna make the playoff, but they'll go 8-4, and you can decide whether that's good enough at that point, depending on the way the rest of the season goes. If you're thinking about this team still making the playoff, you come into this weekend at Tennessee, and it's a must-win. We didn't do a pod last week. I did not call Ole Miss a must-win because I don't want to use that moniker every weekend.
Yeah,
Because then it
they're all
loses its
important.
value. They're all important. This is a, I think just, I wouldn't say must win. I think it's, they responded against South Carolina, then they got punched in the mouth again, and now can this team go play big boy football in Neyland Stadium? I don't know. I am maybe more intrigued for this game, given the circumstances of how this team just lost. What lies ahead of them, where this game is, the quality of Tennessee. I don't know. What stands out to you about this weekend?
Well, I mean, for starters, it's got to be OU just played its first good offense, and here comes Tennessee. You're in Knoxville. They're wearing the black uniforms. You're playing at 7:30. Like,
I'm so excited. I'm gonna be there.
I
I'm
mean,
gonna be honest.
I am jealous. I'm not gonna even lie to you. Like that. That is going to be an awesome atmosphere. Now, I think what stands out to me is Tennessee has not held an SEC opponent under 31 points yet.
Defense is not very good.
They have. Oklahoma was not able to take advantage of what Ole Miss presented defensively. One of the stats that stood out was Ole Miss was giving up almost 5 yards a carry going into that game. And until they figured out by happenstance, blind luck, dumb luck, that Xavier Robinson was the best running back that they have, they didn't try to really take advantage of that. So I think you go into this game, you need to be able to capitalize on the weaknesses, and not expect Oklahoma's defense to hold Tennessee below 20 points.
No.
Because that recipe may work against teams like Michigan,
They could
like
hold LSU
Auburn.
and Missouri to under
Yes,
20
I
points.
believe that 100%.
Yeah.
You could, I, you would have, and this maybe this is a hot take. You would have a better chance holding Alabama under 20 points than you would Tennessee,
Maybe.
just by the nature of their offense. I think it falls into Oklahoma's hand a little bit better in that game. This is one of those games where you almost have to factor in, we're probably going to give up a shot at some point. That's just the nature of the game. If there is any juice for that Tennessee sideline, and that crowd is going and the spectacle is what we believe it's going to be, Aguilar's been good enough that they're going to be able to stretch the ball at least once or twice. Their athletes are pretty good. I think one-on-one balls, you feel good about what you've got with Aguilar. So they're going to stretch the field. What has to happen is you've got to win the game in the margins. You have to be able to win special teams because it's been good for you in places, and then it's been detrimental in the losses. So you have to win special teams. But I think you have to go. This is one of those times where I'll give it to you really simple. I'll quit rambling. I'll give it to you really simple. If Oklahoma can't get over this hump of not scoring 30 points against a Power Four team, they're not going to win this game. Period.
I think that's part of why I say must win this weekend is because I just it's not look, if they lose this weekend, the program's not gonna fall apart.
No.
It just will mean if you haven't adjusted your expectations before then, you will after. Because the team's not going to playoff. Probably not, at least. But in the sense of just what do you got? Because Tennessee's deep. Oklahoma should be able to score points, and it should not be labored at all. Oklahoma should be able to run the ball effectively, and they should be able to throw the ball down the field effectively. This is a Tennessee defense that ranks 124th in passing yards allowed and 126th in explosive play rate through the air. There's real and look, playing in Neyland Stadium, difficult. Communicating in that stadium, difficult. Coming off a game where the offense scored 26 points, but it was for large portions of that game, it was difficult and ugly. You're not coming in with momentum at all. And it's not about saying Oklahoma's going to go in and score 48 points, but this offense just by being average should hit 30 points. I feel pretty confident in that. And I think Oklahoma's defense will be better. It's than they were against Ole Miss. It's going
I
to be
do too.
I don't know if Kobe McKenzie's going to play. That hurts. I don't know if JJ Williams is going to play. But I think the defense will be better. They gave up 7 explosive passing plays against Ole Miss. They'd given up 9 through the first 7 weeks.
I wonder how many of those, I'm curious how many of those came after what would have been a sack in the other game. Does that make sense what I'm asking? How many of those explosive plays came after the play broke down and should have been like? Because I think that's something that Chambliss could do that Aguilar may not be as good at, but.
I think it was kind of similar to Texas. Chambliss was even more effective than Arch, but like OU's defensive line generated, their front seven generated a lot of pressure, but couldn't get home consistently. And Arch Manning took advantage of that. Chambliss took that to another level where he was able to go off script and that hurt OU's defense. The OU's defense is entirely predicated on the front seven and the defensive line, particularly the interior, being so damn good, so damn effective that they don't need the secondary to be perfect because they're going to get home and they're gonna sack you. And when that doesn't happen, and you combine that with a quarterback like Chambliss, that's what happens. Joey Aguilar doesn't. He's not nearly as comfortable getting out of the pocket as Chambliss is. So that should be helpful. However, this game is in Neyland Stadium. And I think the hard part is I just there's a lot of ways this game could go. Turnovers, Tennessee's really good at generating turnovers. Oklahoma's defense cannot generate a turnover unless it's in garbage time. They cannot generate a turnover. It's time to that dream has sailed for some reason.
It's wild.
For the first time ever, a Brent Venables defense can't generate momentum-changing turnovers. There's all kinds of you mentioned special teams, all this stuff. I really honestly think this is going to come down to how well does Jon Matier play. I really do, and part of it is because the avenue is there. It's not like this is a. Man, this defense is really good. Mateer's just going to have to make stuff out of nothing. It's not that. Is Mateer going to execute? Is he going to execute and be consistent? And I honestly think that's what this game comes down to. If he plays like he did against Ole Miss, and really the last 3 weeks, Oklahoma will lose the football game.
I agree.
I feel pretty confident in that. And even if the defense plays better, and even if the running back rotation makes more sense, and even if the offensive line holds up okay, OU's going to have to score points. OU's defense can be really good on Saturday, and they will still give up points. That's just the way things go in this league, especially when you're playing an offense like this. I don't know. The last thing I will say is, I think I don't want to. I'm not going to say this is a must-win game because it's not. Yeah, it's just not. I do think this is going to be an incredibly defining game for
That's a great way to put it.
this program. Does not have a win in a big spot like this under Brent Venables. They just don't. If they had one, it was Texas in 23, and they ruined it. They spoiled it. They don't have a win, and Bama doesn't count because they were 5-5 last year. They don't have a win like this, where if you go get a win, not only does it really realistically keep you in the playoff hunt, but it says, "Hey, we can go win on the road against a really good team." They don't have a win like this.
Nope, this is a belt buckle game.
That's a better way to put it.
Yeah, it's about like this is one of those games where you can say, okay, yeah, this is legit. This isn't an early Michigan felt like a game that could be that, but it turns out that that's a team that you played a year early. I think going ne I mean you look ahead to next year, that's probably going to be a really tough game, but it didn't turn out to be the gemstone kind of game that you hoped it would be. It really wasn't as impactful on the program as you would have hoped. Now, it was great for recruiting, but like, is OU back to being a legit contender? That didn't really tell you much. This is an opportunity to say, okay, they're at least in the echelon. Their defense is really good. They're not that far off. If Metier plays better down the stretch, there's no reason why this team can't be right on the fringe of being in a 12-team playoff. But you got to go do it. Like, you can talk about it all you want to. The defense can be elite. I think the staff deserves all the credit in the world for how far that unit has, what they have done on that side of the football in 4 years is a miracle. It went from being one of the worst to the best in the country. Unfortunately, you had the flip side happen on offense. So figure it out and go win the game. Great. If you don't, there's just a lot more questions piling up.
To put a bow on it, I think this game will set the expectations for how you should view the last three games of the year. If OU wins this
100%.
game, if OU wins this game, the playoff isn't not only not far off at all, you can really be hoping for that. Like real like
Think
that's a
about
go ahead.
how much better 7-2 looks going into your bye week than 6-3 does. It really does set the tone for the rest of the year.
If you lose this game, you're 6-3. You've lost 3 of 4. You still have to go to Bama. You kind of know where this program. I think you're gonna have
And
a pretty
you've
good idea
been
of
here
where this program
before.
is. Yeah. If you lose, you know where this program is. That's the way I would put it. That's gonna do it for us here on this episode of the Oklahoma Drill. Appreciate you guys tuning in. As always, make sure to like and subscribe here at this OU Insider YouTube channel. Go over to OU Insider, become a VIP member today. Parker, Brandon, and I will be at Neyland Stadium this weekend. We are driving 12 hours. It's a 12-hour drive from Oklahoma City. 12-hour drive as for a 7:30 local kick. It's going to be a late, late night on Saturday. We will have you guys covered over at OU Insider and here on this YouTube channel. Make sure to not miss a thing. We will be back next week on OU's bye week to either be talking about a program-defining win or yet another tough loss. Brian, appreciate you as always, sir.
Absolutely, man. Glad to do it.
We'll see you guys next week on the Oklahoma Drill. Till then, you guys take care.